the Canaan city of Calabar. To your best music, best talk radio. This is The Dialogue. The Dialogue. With Agba Jalingo. Jalingo. On Hit 95.9 FM, Calabar. Calabar.
Good evening, listeners out there, and welcome to episode 385 of The Dialogue with Agba Jalingo, coming to you live from the studios of the premier audio broadcasting outfit in the ancient city of Calabar, the Hit 95.9 FM, where you get the best music and the best talk. You've been listening to the best music all afternoon, and the best talk commence with the news at 6 with Eric Baroni, Eric the Enigma, of course, and well, it continues with the dialogue with Agba Jalingo. I know a lot of people will be wondering, Jonathan is back in the studio, right? Some usually mistake my voice for the host himself, Citizen Agba Jalingo. But I'm here, of course, in his place. My name is Jonathan Abang, and I'm moderating this evening's dialogue in the absence of the citizen himself. Yeah, it's a wonderful month. The month of June is it comes with a lot of things for the LGBTQIA plus community, which the Nigerian law forbids us from discussing about. I take this as the Pride Month. It's also a month where we discuss men's mental health, which is not such a popular thing as it were. But it's also a month that a couple of years back, under the administration of President Muhammadu Buhari, we decided that June 12th will be our new Democracy Day and no longer May 29th. Which started in the year 2000 following the swearing-in of President Olusegun Aremu Obasanjo on the 29th day of May 1999. And the reason why June 12th was brought in was because of the annual June 12th elections, where Mushin Kashimawolo Olawale Abiola, MKO Abiola, won alongside his running mates Babangana Kingibe some 30 years ago, as it were. And well, many people say June 12th goes beyond democracy. It means the unity of Nigeria and unity of purpose and a whole lot of that. But we are continuing the democracy conversation. This time around, we'll be looking at the rights, our perspective. And so basically, yeah, we'll do that till the end of June, which is basically next Sunday anyway, if the Most High keeps us. Now, what is the most common definition of the word democracy? It is, as we often say, a type of government of the people, by the people, and for the people, which is an old form of government, as well as others that exist in different ways across the world. Now, in Nigeria, the country has had different forms of democracy and different periods since independence, since October 1, 1960. Yes, we had the parliamentary system of government, and now we have the presidential system. At some point, we have a bicameral legislature. Back then, we did not have a bicameral legislature. Now, three different democratic republics were truncated by the military, who seized power and controlled the majority of the country's initial 40 years after independence. However, since the advent of the Fourth Democratic Republic, ushered in on May 29, 1999, the country has, when that of 1999 included, witnessed seven general electioneering circles, producing six presidents, six vice presidents, hundreds of governors and their deputies, as well as tens of thousands of lawmakers at the federal, state, and local government levels. Now, but despite existing cliches such as the worst form of democracy is better than the best form of dictatorship being bandied, and the new Democracy Day celebration just last week, questions such as is life better now under the current democratic dispensation than in the past have been asked. These and more form the basis of this evening's dialogue with Agba Jalingo, with the topic Nigeria's Democracy Day 2024 celebration. How have Nigerians fared? And to discuss this some more with us, it's a monologue of some sort. Actually, we have the national coordinator of the Take It Back movement, Comrade Ayowole Sanwo-Olu Juwon, who will be joining us via phone. And don't touch that dial, we'll be right back. It is episode 385 of the Dialogue with Agbor Jalingo, and we have joined us via phone from Southwest Nigeria, Comrade Ayowole Sanwo-Olu Juwon, the National Coordinator, Take It Back Movement. Good evening and welcome to the Dialogue with Agbor Jalingo.
Good evening and thanks for having me.
A quick backstory for Comrade Juwon here. While we were planning for because I was part of the We Are Hungry protest. I'm a hungry man, I'm not an angry man though. A lot of Nigerians are hungry. And sometimes I look to my employer and ask for, Oga, is it not time for some race, based on the living realities? I know some people here in the station we have, but that's a conversation that the Hit FM management will have for another day, and not on the Dialogue with Agbor Jalingo. Yes, of course, I'm expecting a call from a couple of people after the show. But nonetheless, Comrade Juwon was picked up by law enforcement agents on June 11, the eve of June 12, anyway, or June 11, 2024. And after denials by the State Security Service, the Niger Secret Police, SSS, which, of course, some of his friends now decided to label the denial State Service. The police now confirmed that he was with them and he was released. And then at some point in time, they said they don't know where he resides and decided that they were following him. But that's not the essence. We are talking about the democracy in Nigeria, as it were, and the civic space community. But the question I'll ask you is, with what you've seen so far and with that cliche that the worst form of democracy is better than the best military regime, do you agree with it?
Can you repeat the question?
There is that cliche that the worst form of democracy is better than the best form of military administration or regime, as it were. Do you agree with that saying, that cliche being bandied about?
Well, I think for me, I think that it's either you have democracy or you don't.
Mm.
You know, there is no comparing evil with another evil. What we had in 1999 was usually called military dictatorship, right?
Yes.
And from 1999 downwards, 25 years down the line, what we've had so far is what I would describe as civilian dictatorship. So either with what we've experienced over the past 25 years is dictatorship at a different level. Because if we consider what were the issues with military dictatorship, or what were the specific indices that categorizes the three decades of military rule as dictatorship? Are still development that happens perhaps in even worse forms, right? During military dictatorship, freedom of speech, Nigerians don't have it. Freedom of assembly, we don't have it. Freedom of protest is totally absent. But even as terrible as military dictatorship was, the military did respect the orders of the court. Well, it is not the same thing with the so-called civilian dictatorship. Under Buhari's administration alone, over 40 orders of the court are violated. Tinubu's regime is barely a year, and he has violated numerous court orders. Court orders over detention of various journalists. Many court orders have been violated even under the regime of Bola Tinubu. Buhari's administration was so terrible that the Punch newspaper wrote a review and decided henceforth to describe the administration of Buhari as a regime, which means that the Punch newspaper recognizes the Buhari's administration as synonymous to the junta. So at any rate, I do not think the only difference between over three decades of military rule and the what we've experienced over two decades of civilian rule is that one is wearing a badge, the other one is in uniform.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, you've already basically set the tone for the conversation and answered a couple of questions I was going to ask, especially in the issues of court orders and what have you. Because our mutual friend Omoyele Sowore, Agbo Jalingo, we have Stephen Kefas, and a couple of others. And then we saw a situation where between 2015 and now, we've had more journalists arrested or basically harassed by law enforcement agents and non-state actors that we had between the periods of 95 through to 2015, as it were. But let's move on from that. We saw a situation where prior to June 12th, there were conversations about the incumbent president being part of the June 12th coalition, being part of Pronamco, Nadeco, and what have you, that he was in the civil society. When you listen to such things and then seeing what you say now, how does that make you feel?
There have been a lot of misconception about President Tinubu's role in the pro-democracy struggle, especially with regard with his relationship with Nadeco. To start with, Nadeco no doubt played roles within the struggle for democracy, but they particularly were not the ones who actually had the standoff with military dictatorship. It was the students, now. The people who actually confronted the military regime were young people. The organizations that confronted military regime were Campaign for Democracy, the trade unions, Peng, Tengasan. These are the organizations that actually took up the military dictatorship. As a matter of fact, under the military, the National Society of Nigerian Students, NAS, was banned several times. Its predecessor organizations, NONS, was banned twice. ASU was banned several. As a matter of fact, ASU was banned at a point, and then they renamed themselves into University Lecturer Association before, under Chagari's regime, they took over, they came back and became a academic staff union of universities. Mopeng, Tengasan, banned several NLC leaders arrested. So people like Azar Kumono, Ali Siroma, many people face persecutions. I find it is Bola Tinubu may no doubt be a very close connection with civil society actors and perhaps the two left organizations during the pro-democracy era, but they did not take up the military regime. If anything, they actually did betray the June 12th struggles, because after Abiola, these are issues we came to discover in history ourselves, you know. Tinubu himself was frolicking with the killers of Abiola. So how do you tell me that such a person actually, in actual sense, fought for democracy? Not that he played his role, but the people who are trying to be heroes of democracy, we know them, and we knew what they faced in those era. So that we are not surprised that he has no regard for democracy. After all, these are not persons who actually suffered and paid the price. Many people, in fact, paid on the ultimate price.
Yes, there are so many names. There are so many names. There are so many names we can't mention. But let me push this question to you, because this conversation, I had it with a couple of other comrades as well. I'll mention names like Jude Ilu, Lanre Arokundadi, Money Michael Sashibogu, and the rest of them, was that a lot of comrades by 1999 refused, when we were welcoming democracy, to participate in the democratic elections, choosing to play the Sidan look aspect. And that's the reason why, in the words of Citizen Agba Jalingo, they let the Mavericks come and overrun the system. Do you agree with that? I mean, because according to some perspective, they say, apart from Larry Arogudade, who contested for Senate in Lagos, almost no other comrade from the civil liberty organizations or from the left basically came up.
Yeah, and I can say some of us were really not were still very much younger at those period, but we met history, right? And indeed, I do agree with based on my interactions too with people who actually actors in those periods. I agree fully that indeed the civil society actors, the left organizations, and people who were at the forefront of actual fight for democracy were wrong to have abandoned the city for politicians, and that was exactly what happened. As a matter of fact, this was not the first time the activists took that kind of position. They took similar position in, I think, between 1991-1992, thereabout, during the period where the 1993 elections were going was going to happen. There was a decision. There was a resolution by the National Association of Nigerian Students which completely dismissed Babangida's transition program and described it as a fraud. Yes, they were right, because of the final analysis, Babangida's actions in 1993 and the way he announced the election justified the NAM position in 1992 that described his transition program as a fraud. But at any rate, repeating such positions again in 1999 by the broader left organization without making alternatives, and especially when power was practically lying on the street in 1999, I think that was a major and a terrible as a matter of fact, the persons like Danny Powell, who practically has become a national hero around the periods of 1999, who even had a party, national congress. I think it was then it hasn't fully metamorphosed into a party. It was national conscience movement. You know, he was practically a hero of our democracy. These people are completely abstained from the electoral process. People like Shure left the country, traveled with many activists completely. They abandoned the process, so that by the time they came to the realization in 2003, and Ghanaian Power eventually floated the party, National Conscience Party, people like Obasanjo of this world, Tinubu of this world, and many of these rich politicians who were in cahoots with the military had already consolidated their hopes, their holds on power, and then since then it has become practically difficult for actual pro-democracy activists, to actually be able to contend the elections on an equal playing field. And you will discover that it had become from 1999 down to 2003. Getting involved in the electoral politics has become much more difficult, and it is getting difficult year in, year out. But of course, until all hope is not lost, as I used to say, there's only a few of them, and yes, there are many of us. If the Nigerian people can't mobilize themselves en masse, as I used to say, a mass movement is the only thing that can actually save the Nigerian people from state capture, because that's exactly what we have now. Politicians who are in cahoots with the military have captured in 2003.
Now, you're talking about movement, but we've seen movements and some moments in the years past. I know some people would like to describe the NSAS moment as a movement, but the reality is that that was actually a moment, not necessarily a movement, even though several movements actually back that as it were. And I will touch on that briefly, and then we come back to the conversation. Is that what we've seen? Several moments and movements. We've seen moments such as the NSAS 2.0 in October 2020, and then we saw the January 2012 anti subsidy removal moments, which all basically some say started the foundation for what morphed into the All Progressive Congress, with the likes of Jaye Gaskia and I think Rabiu Rewan, if I stand to be corrected anyway, where they were arguing whether the left should join the All Progressive Congress or not, with Jaye Gaskia arguing against it and all of that until date. And then we saw also the obedience moment. That's still also not a movement by per definition. We saw also the obedience moment. Do you think there's something missing somewhere to basically catalyze the people to say, oh, look, let's demand for a right, let's demand for better governance, amidst the continuous, the continuous statement from those who are in power right now, saying that, look, we are trying our best, things are just difficult. And like the president popularly said, these are baby steps of pain. Come on, John.
So let me get the summary of the question.
The summary is this: is there any missing link? Is there something missing that has not been able to catalyze all these moments I have mentioned, for instance, from the January 2012 protests, NSAS 2.0, to the obedience moment, to basically make Nigerians wake up and say, oh, look, let's demand accountability, let's get involved more in the process. And despite the fact that public officers keep telling you that, oh, this is it's only God that can save Nigeria, and like the president said recently, it's baby steps of pain.
Yes, let me start by saying that in periods, and this is quite, I'm going to be very brief with responding to this. In periods when movements have transformed into an actual movement. Hello?
Can you hear me? We are with you.
Hello?
We are with you.
Thank you. So in periods when movements are transformed into movement, there is an organization at the core of it. Right? NSAS is one of the biggest mass movements in recent history, right? Or maybe I should rightly describe it a moment in recent history. But it was a great revolutionary moment that was unable to transform into a movement. But if we were compared to a different history, like the ANSAP struggle, the struggle against the structural adjustment program. As a matter of fact, the structural adjustment program is one of the biggest movements under the military, the ANSAP revolt, was one of the biggest revolts or mass movements during military dictatorship. Right, as a matter of fact, so big was it that some military texts would describe it as a riot. We call it an anti-papa riot. But in actual sense, it was a revolt. But at the heart of this revolt was the student movement, young people organized at the National Association of Nigerian Students, NAS. And that anti-papa movement was able to achieve significant results. And part of the result it achieved, for instance, was the fact that the Babangida government granted so many relief, including providing close to 100,000 jobs, which were part of the demands of staff. It directed the payment of 500 naira bursary, right, to students, and cut the number of government spending, and so many other things that the SAPA revolt achieved. But with NSAC, that central coordination was not there. Of course, as I used to describe Gentas movement has been incorrectly described. Gentas has been incorrectly described as a leaderless protest. But I usually like to describe it as a protest that was leaderful. But unfortunately, the so many leaders within the NSAC were not coordinated. Right, centrally, there was not that very strong central coordination, especially at the national level, except for some few things. So that eventually, when the protest was repressed in the most violent way, with Lekki, Alausa, and so many places, there was no voice that kept on coordinating, or that kept the resistance that kept the resistance on the street. And it is the reason so many NSAC protesters, for instance, are still in detention. So there is only few organizations that have the Tekibar movement that has been involved in freeing a number of protesters. And we are still releasing so many who are still in detention since 2020. It is the reason that such great mass protest of young people could not translate into serious electoral concessions and electoral victory, you know, that would have displaced the over 25 misrule that we have experienced this so-called civilian arrangement. So I strongly think that what was missing on the start with vote was the absence of a coordinating organ. It was It could have also been NANS with the NSAC, especially since the revolt at any rate was a revolt of young people, just like ANSAC. But unfortunately, that organization that was supposed to provide that leadership had been demobilized by the Nigerian state long ago.
So you are cancelling out the National Association of Nigerian Students, NANS, as it were right now.
The NANS has long been demobilized. As a matter of fact, the reason I keep talking about NANS in relation to NSAC is that the NANS is not like the trade unions, is the organization of Nigerian workers. The NANS is predominantly the organization of young people, students, right? So it correctly played that role with ANSAC, led young people to pursue with regards to the ANSAC revolt, but unfortunately, it could not provide leadership for the ANSAC program. That was a major missing link.
Okay, well, that's Comrade Juwon Ayowole Shamolu. He said, not Sanwo-Olu, please. It's funny. Well, we'll open the phone lines right now so you can join this. Yes, of course. Now, the conversation, you can join the conversation. And I know some of you disagree with Juwon, as it were. And it's your opportunity to join the conversation. The number to dial is 0700-959-44836. 0700-959-44836. It's episode 385 of the Dialogue with Agba Jalingo. Tell us what you think about these and other issues that have been raised about democracy so far, and how we can hold our leaders accountable. I know some of our friends in the law enforcement agencies are also listening. Some of you may not like what we're saying, but you're also welcome to contribute. If you don't like how the conversation is going, we'll have a caller on the line. Let's hear what the person has to say. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Okay, this is UB Furniture.
UB Furniture. I know you. Go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
First of all, Jonathan, I want to tell you welcome back to our program. We really miss you.
Thank you. Yes, of course, we've been doing this over the phone.
Let me go back to the democracy that we are talking about today. Jonathan, when you talk about democracy, because before you started, you said democracy is the government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Yes.
But now, as I'm talking to you, the reverse case. Democracy is the government of the politician, by the politician, and by the politician. as I see, that is for my opinion. Because why did I say so? Jonathan, Don't be laughing. This is a serious
thing. Well, no. But because at the end of the day, I won't be surprised if NBC sends a letter in tomorrow and says, certain opinions expressed. Go ahead.
The reason why I say so is this. Since 1999, that Nigeria claimed that we are a democracy, now all the government president that is coming to see, the one that is going is worse than the one. One that is coming is worse than the one that is going.
When you say the one that is coming is worse, how?
Yeah, the one that is coming is worse. Now look at the suffering of Nigeria today. So now I can boldly go to the market and buy 5 kilos of pepper for 500 naira. You understand? Now you are telling me that we are a democracy for the people, by the people, and for the people. Now that's why I tell you this very one. More for the people, by the people, and for the people. It's for the politician alone, because we are the citizens. We are suffering and smiling in Nigeria. So please, I want to beg you. There's no need of we wasting money in our election. Because why? Before some people to the see, they told us that this is their time. It's their time for them to rule, and they must rule. Automatically, they are ruling, and the people are suffering. So please. The democracy that we are practicing today is not democracy, rather is suffocracy. Thank you very much.
That's you before it was saying is suffocracy. I did not get that. Suffocracy. Fela also found it very difficult. Abameda, when he was singing, and he called it crazy demonstration of craze, democracy, and what have you. Juan, maybe you want to react to UB Furniture's statement there, saying it's not democracy, but it's something suffering and then crazy at the end of it.
That's absolutely correct. It's perhaps practically the sum of my disposition regarding what we've experienced over the last 25 years. We've not had a democracy.
We have another call on the line. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, sir. My name is Abdel. I'm calling from Ismail.
Oh, go ahead with your comment, contribution, or question.
Yes, sir. Well, you see, the last election, I only want to comment on the last election.
Okay.
So this, what this demand, your official is saying, is, I don't know much about that. So what I want to say is, I want to comment especially on what the last caller said. You see, they were saying it's their turn, they must rule, and they were ruling. You see,
they said they are ruling, yes. Not they were, though.
You see, this country, we all know that we are not born, but the way people
let me get that correctly. Did you say we all know we are not one?
We all know that we are not one country.
That is your opinion, correct? Because I believe we are one Nigeria, though.
It's my opinion. Let me say how I know. Yes, you see, the way South, I've been saying the South, sometime in the Southeast, the way they say the last election is too harsh. They believe that because Obi did not win the election, the election is fraud.
Okay.
Look at the 1979 election.
Bafara Wanko.
When Yorubas believe that because Obasanjo did not announce Awolowo as the winner of the 1979 election in Yoruba land, they believe that that election was fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fraud. Obasanjo declared the normal winner then. Now, because South and the Southeast, they were not believe in Tinubu.
Mm-hmm.
They were not voted for Tinubu. Is it me? No, any other person vote for him from other region? Is it? Are they only the two regions in Nigeria? What are the four remaining regions? So all this fraud, election was fraud. Our fraud was not counted. You see, it's too much of these people in this area. And one thing is coming. Their candidate will come out again, and maybe if he wins the election that time, and they want to see their only election that we make a winner anytime he come out again. Let them put temper. Let them take this thing easy. Tinubu is not enemy of anybody. He's the president of this country. The way they take Tinubu, the way they comment on him, we say, we Yoruba, we will stay here. The way they talk to us because of Tinubu, it's too hard. That's why we believe you are not one country. See, we are together for now. Let's live in peace. Let's live in peace. It's getting too much of them.
Thank you very much for your comments there. Now, this is something that has been a very vexing issue. As you discussed, I know I was nearly mobbed in the Southwest and also in Abuja when I was discussing about the fact that whether anyone likes it or not, Mr. Tinubu emerged winner, whether by hook or by crook. He won in River State in the South, Atiku won in Akwa Ibom State, Obi won in Cross River State, and it went on and on like that, as it were. But here's the issue, though. We had a very vexing issue after the elections were announced, where the obedience said that the court must listen to the suit which was instituted to stop the inauguration of Bola Ahmed Tinubu as the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, while the constitution says that it's only the tribunals that can do that, and the constitution outlines the timeline for that 180 days for the tribunal to sit and 14 days for you to appeal and 60 days for the appellate court to sit. We have the constitutional review ongoing. Do you think, while I'm saying this, is because a lot of Nigerians do not know that part of the law, that 21 days after you have 21 days after the announcement of result to file your grievance at the tribunal. The tribunal has 180 days to sit, which they give their ruling within that time, or at the very 180th day, you have 14 days to appeal and 60 days for the appellate court to sit. And in the case of governorship, which goes all the way to the Supreme Court, you have another 14 days to appeal and 60 days for the Supreme Court to sit and hear all these issues. Now we have the constitutional review ongoing with the House of Reps. The chairman of the constitutional review committee is Benjamin Kalu, who is a lawmaker from the east nearby Abia State, which is a neighboring state to Cross River. Now, do you think that there is somehow, somewhere, a deliberate attempt to basically keep the citizenry uneducated about some of these issues so much that they don't focus on governance and administration and rather focus on periodic elections?
Yeah, well, let me start by, you know, stating clearly that I do not even want to say President Tinubu won an election that never happened. Because at the end of it, you can't build something on nothing. Can't build something on nothing. And I also want to say that whatsoever the National Assembly is going to do with regard to constitutional review can never be in favor of the Nigerian people.
But can the Nigerian people make it in favor of them?
Yes. Nigerian people, just like the people of Kenya recently shut down a finance deal. Nigerian people need to learn from Kenya and do the needful.
When you say do the needful, what steps can the Nigerian people take? I know some of our listeners are eager to hear that.
Yeah, I've sent them to Kenya. Nigerian people need to do exactly what the Kenyans did by shutting and now shut down the recent finance bill. And Nigerian young people have done it before. We need to repeat the MSAS. You understand? We need to repeat the MSAS. And in this time, in a bigger format and better organized.
We need to repeat the answers in a bigger format and better organized. Thank you very much, Comrade Sanyolu Ayowole, Juwon, National Coordinator, Take It Back Movement, my friend and brother. Thank you for joining us on episode 385 of the Dialogue with Agba Jalingo this evening. It was wonderful having you.
Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And that's how we wrap things up on the program. Kudos to our content providers, Jan Concept Media Partners, CrossoverWatch.com, and the Hit 95.9 FM, where you get the best music and the best stuff. And of course, the production team led by Charles Carlo, assisted by DJ Tony here in the studio, Patrick Obia, Godwin Otang, and other members of the backroom staff. Not forgetting Jeremiah Archibong, our friend and brother, who I just only discovered lost his father in law. May his soul rest in a perfect peace. Amen. And of course, don't let the devil steal your joy, because no matter what the devil smell, it can never become the Most High. The Most High is always on the throne. Till next Sunday, when we come your way again, we on the dialogue with Agba Jalingo continue to demand for the release of Peter Tex, the godfather Etem, who was kidnapped on January 11, 2019. We do not accept what law enforcement officials say. They can't confirm if he's dead or alive. We also ask them to investigate the disappearance of Abubakar Dadi Yata Idris, as well as Professor Ekanem Philip, who went missing since July last year. We urge them to release unconditionally, and all NSAS protesters to also be released across from the different prisons and detention centers and facilities they are held across the country. I see the phone line still beeping, but unfortunately we can't take any more call right now, but this conversation continues next Sunday, of course. And as well as Mubarak Bala, what happened to him is unfortunate, but we wish him well at the Court of Appeal, where we are aware that notice of appeal has been filed. Now, freedom of religion is a right of every individual. Freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, freedom of opinion. These are enshrined in the 1999 Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, as well as the African Charter on Humans and People's Rights. So it is important for public office holders, law enforcement agents, to continue to obey these. Of course, when you feel aggrieved, you can always approach the law court for interpretation and, of course, a defense of your rights. You can listen to audios of this episode and others on Audio Mic and Google Podcasts. Don't forget that wherever you are on the earth, from 6:15 through 7 p.m., you can just visit mixlr.com/HFM Calibre for the live edition of the program, or on radiogarden.com and search for Hit FM Calibre, and you get to listen live, of course. Well, we'll leave no stone unturned and no turn on stone to ensure the crossover conversation bears positive fruit. Till next Sunday, when I come your way again, I am Jonathan Abang. It's bye for now.